Do you know that he loves you? My son, David, the other day, he told me, Daddy, you talk too long. But then he said something else. After a while, he said, I think I know why, Daddy. Because you're not too smart. And I thought about that, and I said, well, I guess what he's trying to say is that I have to talk a long time because I don't know how to put it all together short, you know? I don't know. Hallelujah. But I did have something I'd like to share with you this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you open your Bibles there, we'll just consider some thoughts from God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are a few extra Bibles if someone doesn't have. I see three Bibles over there. I felt the Lord laid these books on my heart in considering this time at camp, and it began at the staff meeting that we had at the Ridgewood Church early on. I guess it was in April, maybe. And one of the verses that was used at that time was from 1 Thessalonians 5. And so I began looking into this book, and I felt that the Lord was wanting to speak to me. And so as we go through these next 2 weeks, we'll work our way through both of these books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But this morning, let's read together. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, for that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now this morning I just wanted to share some thoughts about, first of all, Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians, and then also how the Thessalonians received that ministry. And in both instances, there are things that we can emulate. There's an example to follow. There's something that speaks to us. And right at the beginning here, he says he gives thanks to God for them. He gives thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He gave thanks to these Thessalonians and he prayed for them. Now, how and when do you know anything about the Thessalonian church, the church at Thessalonica? Do you know how it started, when, where? And maybe that's a question that's out there. But listen, second missionary journey, Paul was traveling through Asia Minor. That was kind of north of Palestine, and he stayed in that area. He had been there before, and he had traveled back. And he wanted to go a certain way, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. And he wanted to go somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there either. And then that night he had a vision. And he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come on over and help us. Come over and help us. And so he changed direction. Instead of going back through Asia Minor, he passed over into what's now modern-day Greece. That area, Macedonia and Greece. And Thessalonica was on that route that Paul took as he worked his way down towards Athens. He had been in Philippi. You know what happened to Philippi, right? The earthquake. They were put in prison because they had delivered that slave girl from the spirit of divination. They had set her free in the name of Jesus, and the officials didn't like that, her owners, and so they threw them in jail. And Paul and Silas sang at midnight, and the jail was what? Opened. The earthquake came, and that jailer opened his heart and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from Philippi, they went down to the city of Thessalonica. And do you know what happened there? For 3 Sundays, it says, 3 weeks, he went to the synagogue and he told them about Jesus. And did they like it? Did they like the message? Yes. A multitude, it says a great multitude of the Greeks believed. And some of the Jews as well. And the leading women believed. But some people didn't like it. And they persecuted Paul and that work. And they went to arrest him in the house of Jason. They didn't find him there. And they just made trouble. And so Paul left. Paul left those converts that he had at Thessalonica. And he went to Berea. And in Berea it says they opened their hearts and they received the word as it was the word of God. But you know what? The people from Thessalonica, the ones that opposed, they followed him to Berea. You know, they weren't satisfied that he left. They chased him down in Berea, and he had to leave from Berea, and he went to Athens. And so this church was founded in a time of, it says here, in much what? A much affliction. Even though there was opposition, it wasn't easy for those Thessalonian Christians to take their stand. Right away, right at the beginning, there was opposition. There was persecution. The enemy wanted to stamp out that work of God in their lives. But the wonderful thing, it was a real work of God. It was something that God was able to do deep in the heart. And it brought about a lasting change. We're going to read about that, or we'll talk about that a little bit. But he says this, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." Now that's the first thing I'd like to encourage us in these days to do, is to pray. To pray. Maybe I could say this to those who are going to be counselors. God wants you to pray for those boys and the girls that God gives to you. You need to remember them daily in prayer. That's your responsibility. That's our calling. And we, who are part of the staff here on Watch Rock, we too have a responsibility to pray. To pray. To remember them daily in our prayers. And if I forget to pray in a meeting for the children, you make sure you remind me, okay? You raise your hand, you say, "Brother Phil, we have to pray for those in the cottage and in the village." Remembering them in our prayers. Now, Paul was remembering them because he had been taken away from them so suddenly. And so he brought them before the throne of grace. But in that short time that he was with them, there was something that he saw take place in their lives. And I wanted to just talk about verse 3 a little bit. It says here, he remembers, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Your work produced by faith. Now, I believe that really speaks to us of our normal Christian experience. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, if you have opened your heart and allowed Him to become your Lord and Savior, then the natural outcome of that is good works. Did you know that? Are you saved by good works? What does Ephesians say? You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it says this, you are His workmanship, created by God in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath foreordained that you walk in. And so the natural outcome of my faith in Christ is evidenced by the good works that I do. These works that are produced by faith. And I think being here at camp is a good work. What do you think? It is. And it ought to be a natural. You ought to say, I want to go to camp and work for the Lord because that's the natural outcome of my Christian experience. Do you understand that? James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works. And if Jesus has come to live in your heart, one of the things that ought to be evident in your life is a living for Him, pleasing Him, good works. But then he goes on and he says something else. He talks about labor. Now, is labor different than work? Mm-hmm. He says here, your labor prompted by love. Anybody know what it means to labor? Do we have any laborers among us this morning? Huh? Well, you will become one, I think. That means you roll up your sleeves and, you know, you really put your effort into it and you work at it. You have to exert a little bit of that strength, you know? A labor prompted by love. You see, he says the thing that motivates your labor, the reason that you're willing to, you know, give it all you got, is there's a love in your heart. There's a love in your heart. You know, Paul didn't have it easy as a missionary. Not everyone accepted his message. Actually, he was often persecuted, as I mentioned. Put in prison. And you can read that account, how many times he was beaten with stripes and shipwrecked. And what prompted Paul to serve the Lord? What was it? What did he say? He says, the love of God constrains me. The love of God constrains me. And our labor here at camp ought to be prompted by the love of God. Lord Jesus, you love me. And I, in return, want to love you. And I'm going to give myself. We heard it already this morning. I'm going to yield myself to you. And I'm going to work at it. And whatever job is given me, I'm going to labor by the love that you put in my heart. Now, not only is it a love for God, but a love for the people that we serve. You know, even you who work in the kitchen or the waitress staff or those who are cleaning the dishes, every one of those plates represents someone. Did you know that? Somebody ate off that plate. Somebody drank from that cup. And that's someone who we want to love with the love of God. And so, Lord, I clean this plate for you because I love you and I love the person that you've sent here to camp to bless. There's another thought about labor that I'd like to leave with us, and that's this. Not only is it physical labor, but Paul talks about those who labored in prayer. Are you one who is willing to labor in prayer? Yes, sometimes it's work to pray. Someone has said that the first work really is prayer. The first work, the most important work that we do is to pray. And we want to labor in prayer. God, bring salvation. I'll tell you something, counselors, not every one of your boys is going to open their arms and say, tell me about Jesus, I want to receive him. Often there's a struggle. There's so many layers of the world that our children are exposed to, and that it just covers their hearts and minds. And even in Christian homes, the enemy has somehow found a way to get in and to make our young people, our children, indifferent to the message. Oh, I've heard that. I know those stories. Sister Auntie, I heard that story in Sunday school. Well, has it gotten into the heart? We have to labor in prayer that God would open the heart, that God would remove the veil, that God would bring light into darkness. Are you willing to labor that way? That's why God has brought you here. To labor in prayer. I dare say that the evidence of our love for people is the amount of time we spend praying for them. If you truly love someone, won't you pray for them? Some of the children that will come here probably have no one in their family that prays for them. And you have an opportunity, you have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility before God to labor in prayer. And it's a labor prompted by love. Lord, put that love in my heart. Put that love in my heart, Lord. And then he speaks about this endurance, patience, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in the context of the Thessalonians' experience, being an afflicted church, a church under persecution, their ability to go through was inspired by the hope. The endurance that they exhibited was inspired by that hope that they had in Christ. And Paul speaks of that blessed hope. Many times in these two little letters, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, he makes reference to that hope. What is our hope? What is the hope that you have as a Christian? Is it, I hope so that I make it to heaven? Maybe the Lord will let me in? Is that your hope? Or is it a confidence that one day I will be with him and one day I will be like him? Every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Jesus, you are coming for me, and one day I will be forever with you. But even far greater blessing is that I will be like you. I will be transformed into your very likeness. And the Lord is working that within us now. Amen. He's fitting you for heaven. And they had that hope that this world was not their home. This world was not their final resting place, we sing. We're pilgrims passing through. We seek a country, a better country, a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so that hope ought to fill our hearts. You've promised, Lord, to take me to be where you are, to be with you, to be like you, and to serve you throughout eternity. And so that ought to inspire us. We're not just building here. We're not just working here. We're not just laboring here for this world. We're laboring for eternity. And God is working for eternity in your heart, in my heart, and in the hearts of those boys and girls and adults that will come to this place in the next 2 weeks. God is working for eternity. Hallelujah. And then just a few more thoughts here. For we know, brothers, beloved or loved by God, that He has chosen you for we know brothers loved by God that He has chosen you. Just think about again what I mentioned. How was it that Paul came to this city? It wasn't in his plan. It wasn't of his choosing. The Holy Spirit directed him to these people. Did he know? Do you think God knew that there were people in Thessalonica or Thessalonica who would open their hearts and receive the message? Do you think that?
Yeah.
Of course. God knew. Do you think that God knows why you're here? Did your mother force you to come? No? Do you know why you're here? Do we know why God is bringing a busload of children to us? Do we know why? Because it's in His heart to work in their lives. And it was in His heart, in the heart of God, that these Thessalonians would hear the gospel. You are chosen of God. You are loved in Christ. Oh, the riches of love in Christ Jesus. chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We don't understand that. But in his love, God drew these people to himself because, verse 5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Ghost, and with deep conviction. And I thought, now again, specifically those of you who are going to be counselors, you have an opportunity to speak the word of life in these days. Is it going to be just words? I trust not. Paul said, when we spoke to you, it was not just words, but that word came with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction, much assurance. We need in these days, beloved, a ministry in the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading these passages, I was convicted. I said, Lord, I need you to come to me in such a way that it's not just words that I say, but that there's a power of God behind it. And that doesn't just come, beloved. You just can't say, Lord, I need your power, and then speak. We have to yield ourselves to the Lord. We have to be given to him completely so that he can fill us with his Spirit. And so that when we speak, there will be deep conviction, not only in those that hear, but in my own soul. Amen. You have to believe what you share. It has to come from within. There has to be much assurance. I know God's word is true. I know that he can bring salvation. I know that he can meet the need. I know that he has the power to touch your life. And so, Lord, give us ministry in these days in the Holy Ghost. What was the result? It says here, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. You became imitators of us. The verse before that says, you know how we lived among you. You know how we walked and we worked among you in those days. And that's another thought that we could take. We need to walk the walk. Right? Is that what they say? Walk the walk, not just talk the talk. We need to be real. We need to be real. So that we could say, like Paul, you could follow my example. You can follow my example. You can be like me because I am like Christ. I'm following Christ. And so these Thessalonians became imitators, followers of Paul and of Christ. And just in closing, the end of the chapter there, it shows how their testimony was spread abroad throughout that surrounding area. Everyone heard about the Thessalonians. Do you know what took place in Thessalonica? Do you know what happened? Paul showed up. The one who has turned the world upside down, he's come here. But what happened to them? They turned from idols, what does it say?
Yes.
To serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to see in these days. Anybody here worship idols?
Used to.
Used to worship idols? Who said that? There are things that we set up in our lives. We place them ahead of God. We worship them. We don't even realize it. We put these things ahead of reading our Bibles. We make our priorities all wrong. And we think we're okay. Oh, I don't do anything bad. I'm not a bad person. But we've allowed things in our lives to be set up. In our hearts. in that place where God ought to be first. But these Thessalonians, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. And we could talk about that a little bit. Maybe another time we will. Those idols that we set up in our hearts. But we ought to believe in these days that God would bring down the idols in our hearts so that He could reign. That He could reign supreme. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. And then they were looking forward. They were expectantly waiting for Jesus to return. The Lord has to put that hope within our hearts and cause it to burn brightly. We're so bound to the things of this world, we don't even realize it. But God is able to set our spirits, as it were, free so that we can look up and wait patiently, expectantly, for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that we're encouraged this morning. The works that flow from our faith in Christ, our Christian experience, the good works, the labor that's prompted by the love that He's put in our hearts for Himself and for one another. And then this hope that He wants to brighten within us. Someday He's coming. And so I don't live just for this life. I don't focus. I don't put all my attention on this world, but I look for a city that is to come, a heavenly home. And I go through this world seeking to please my King and seeking to bring with me as many as I can to one day be forever with the Lord. And so let's remember, the work that God is doing in these days is a work that will last not only for time, but for all eternity. And we have been called to be His co-laborers in this. What a marvelous call that is. And so we give ourselves, we yield ourselves, and say, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Living for Jesus, surrendered and true every moment of every day. Walking with only His pleasure in view every step of this pilgrim way. Let's just all bow our hearts before the Lord. Sister Mary Andriock, would you pray with us, please?
Dear God, we thank You so much that You've gotten a hold of our hearts and that You love us.
Yes.
Not only is there power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, but You give us love and hope too. We thank You for that. In these 2 weeks, Lord, we want to give ourselves to You. Go ahead and show us the things that need to be changed.
Yes, Lord.
Cleanse our hearts from everything that's in the way of loving You and finding You in a greater way. Thank You for these 2 weeks where You're willing and You're able to speak to us. We pray that You will draw us. Draw us in every meeting we find ourselves, Lord. Draw us when we're out there doing fun stuff, and draw us to the prayer room too.
Yes, Lord.
God, we need You. We want You to be first.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we pray that this 2 weeks will make a difference in each life. We love You so much, and then we need to learn to love You more. Thank You for this salvation that is full that is free.
Hallelujah.
And that comes with joy. Please be with us these 2 weeks. Bless those that need to leave and continue to work in their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Bless those of us who stay and help
Lord,
us to see you more clearly in this, at this time.
Amen.
Come to those kids who come, whether they come in a car or on the bus, or
yes.
whether they're already here
yes.
in this room, Lord. Open every heart to find you. We need you desperately.
Yes.
We're a people who just needs God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We can acknowledge
yes,
that, Lord,
yes,
and yet
Lord.
We need you to work within. So we give ourselves to
yes,
you.
Lord.
Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Number 38 in our camp book. Number 38. Stand again as we sing.
Believe we've sung from our hearts with full abandon, Lord, to thee we bow. O Lord, take us such as we are and make us what we ought to be. Work in us a deeper cleansing. Cleanse us, Lord, from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Lord, these idols, O Lord, cast down or break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash us, Lord. We've asked that your blood cleanse us, and we believe you are effecting a deeper cleansing. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse us. Cleanse us from every sin, that we may better glorify thee and live unto your praise. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit's working in us in power to effect those changes that you're seeking. And so, may we continue throughout this day and recognize that you are moment by moment working, and will continue to work. So we thank you. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And this afternoon we have a time of prayer that all of you are invited to attend, and that is at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, and we meet here in this room. So let's give ourselves to the Lord in that way. See what he has for us. Yet today, are you expecting him to do great things?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And for those of you who are leaving, God goes with you and continues his work in your hearts. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you.